seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Isaiah chapter 50 and the third clause in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 50 and the third clause in verse 8. Let us stand together. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50 and the third clause in verse 8. Let us stand together. This is a chapter that's not often read in public, but in it are some deep and profound things. It begins with the Lord speaking of, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? The Lord was speaking, the Lord Jesus, concerning the Jews and how he put them away because they rejected him and would not receive him. But then we find in this same chapter the Lord speaking of his sufferings and how he was to be spitted upon, and there were those that were rebellious against him. But then we find those wonderful encouragements to seeking souls. He says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? And then these words of our text, let us stand together. These are some very precious words, really, and very vital words in these solemn days in which we live. The commandment in them is very clear. Let us stand together. Now may the Lord help us to look a little into it. Satan, you see, will do all he can to divide God's dear people. He's so crafty. He knows just how to oppose them and oppress them and divide them. But here is a clear word that Satan cannot stand against. Let us stand together. Let us look at the wording first. Let. That means, in its simplicity, we should not do anything to hinder us standing together. Now, there are many times the Lord spoke that to his dear people. One's mind goes to those beautiful words which the Holy Spirit indicted the Apostle Paul to write to the Philippians. When he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. They weren't to do anything to hinder the mind of Christ being in them. And then there's this precious word, us. We think of some beautiful words really in God's holy word where it speaks of us. Firstly, we think of those words in the Psalms where he says, let us magnify the Lord together. But then we think too of that case of the dear father in Mark chapter 9 where he brought his son to the Lord Jesus. His son was so oppressed by Satan and cast into the fire and into the water, Satan was out to destroy him. And what did the dear father say to the Lord Jesus? If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Why did he say us when it was his son that was in that bitter onslaught and conflict from Satan? It was because the father and the son were bound together. The burden of the son were the burdens of the father. It was us. They were in it together. A beautiful word really, this us, isn't it? And it can be that it means husband and wife. Let us. And then it can mean a pastor and a church. Let us. And it can mean to those that are in travail and exercise of soul, there are those together in it, longing for the same blessing to be sent forth, or the same soul that they're praying for. It's not just one in it, it's us, you see. He can mean several. But they're all of one accord in it. Let us. But then, let us bring it closer. It can mean to the Lord and his dear children. We think of the Lord going with us. You see, the child of God doesn't walk alone. They feel many times, like it says in the Word, where they feel to be alone. But oh, what a mercy it is when the Lord is walking with us. It's vital, really. And it's very precious. And the Lord comes down and he says, let us stand together. Let us walk together. Let us commune together. So he says, let us stand together. We live in a solemn day where not many are willing to stand. We see so much departing from the truth. So many of our causes solemnly have departed from the old paths. How many are really willing to stand in the Word of God, stand for our doctrines, that God has given, stand for the truth, stand for their articles of faith. You may have wondered why we read together that sacred chapter Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. And he speaks of it, doesn't he, about putting on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having on that armour, what does he say? He speaks so beautifully of it, doesn't he? He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If ever a man was given grace to stand, it was the dear Apostle Paul. And you think how many times he was cast into prison. How many times he was shipwrecked, and how many times he was beaten. You can read it all in his letter to the church at Corinth. A whole catalogue he rehearses to the church there of what he'd been through. But you know, he was unable to stand through it all, wasn't he? And he couldn't stand in and of himself. He had to stand by the grace of God, the Lord enable him to stand. So he says, and let us stand together. We see solemnly in our government, in our leaders, there's not hardly any that are willing to stand for right things, is it? They waver on this and waver on that and something else. May the Lord appear in this election year, if it's his holy will, that we may have those in authority over us and those in the established Church of England and in high places that are willing to stand, and two, in our little denomination. So he says, let us stand together. And then we find, of course, this beautiful word, together. Not stand apart. Not standing alone. You know, when sheep see danger, a dog may come through a gate, and immediately they all go together, don't they? And why do they go together? It's because then they've got strength. You see, then they can stand together against it. And where dangers arise, may the Church of God stand together. and we be each of us given grace to stand together. Not stand apart, and not stand aloof, but stand together for the vital things of God, and for His truth, and for His will and His commandments. So He says, let us stand together. You know, there are those in God's holy word that wonderfully stood together. And let me just name a few of them. I think first of all of dear Elijah and Elisha. You remember when Elijah was to be taken up in the chariots of fire to heaven? And we read that they went both together. Oh, they did. As they went on their way, and dear Elijah was to be taken from Elisha, but they both went together. You see, they were so knit together, weren't they? And who knit them together? The Lord did. And that mantle that was to fall from Elijah was to fall on Elisha. They were together in it. And the Lord wonderfully blessed them both in it, didn't He? Oh, He did. And may we be favoured to know a little of the blessings that they were favoured with. But then we think of Ruth and Naomi. You know, dear Ruth and Naomi stood together, didn't they? It was not so concerning Orpah. She went back to her gods and to her people. She didn't stand together with Naomi, did she? But Ruth did. And they were together as they went on their way back to Bethlehem. And you look how the Lord wonderfully blessed them. And then, of course, the Lord wonderfully brought Ruth and Boaz together so they could walk together. It's a wonderful mercy, you know, to have a husband or wife that we can walk together with. Not only naturally, what does the word tell us? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, naturally they can't if they're not together in things. They cannot walk together. But think about it spiritually, what a mercy is naturally to walk together in oneness and in union. But think about it spiritually. What an honour when we are together in things. Commune one to the other. And I remember when I was favoured to have a couple join the church at Ashwell, you know, the Lord spoke to them, let us magnify the Lord together. And they knew they'd got to go together. And some years before they came, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was preaching in Ashwell pulpit, from these words, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And it was the baptism of these two. And the Lord brought me into this dream, you see, and it was so real. When I woke up in the morning, I thought it was real. And it was real, because it rested upon me. And you know, when they came to see me regarding joining the church, I knew immediately what I'd have to preach from, because it was so clear all those years before. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You see, those two that journeyed to Emmaus were together, weren't they? And look how they were together. First of all, in their sadness. There they were, yearning, and they were sad, and they were sad together. But then the Saviour drew near and he went with them. And he speaks to them of the things that have come to pass, and unfolded to them the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. And oh, it was a journey that they walked together, not only together, one with the other, Cleopas and the other disciple, but the Lord was with them. Oh, may there be among us here those that walk together in the vital things of God. And you say, age doesn't make any difference in this. When I was so exercised about joining the church in 1963, my grandfather was exercised in the same matter. And you know, I used to spend a lot of evenings going round, and we talked together, and we walked together, and we communed together in it. His exercise was just like mine, and yet I was only 18, and he was 82. But we walked together, you see. Age made no difference in this. Walking together. It says here, let us stand together. And you know, it was a wonderful time, and when he was taken home 4 years after he was baptized, you know, I missed his company so much, you know, because we so walked together. What does the hymn writer say? Brethren, let us walk together in the bonds of love and peace. We hope to close with it. Can it be a question whether brethren should from conflict cease? 'Tis in union, hope and joy and love increase. Let us stand together. And you look at the two that journeyed to Emmaus, they stood together. They were one in the things of God. Look at Elijah. Look at Ruth. Look at Elijah and Elisha. They stood together. Nothing could separate them. Ruth and Naomi, nothing could separate them. They were one in the things of God. Let us stand together. And then you think of the dear Apostle Paul and Timothy. You know, the Lord dealt, and I've often thought about it, so differently with them, didn't he? With the Apostle Paul, he had such a clear calling from heaven on that Damascus Road. What an experience it was to turn him from the ways of sin and Satan to the narrow way that leads unto life. And look at then at how the Lord dealt with Timothy. He learned the scriptures from his youth. Oh, he did. With his mother and grandmother. And yet when it came to the vital things of God, the apostle didn't say, oh, well, you know, you haven't had the same beginning as I had. Oh, no. They were one in the things of God. The Lord that had begun with Timothy had begun with the apostle. But the work was so different. But it was God's work. And they could stand together. And you think how many times in his ministry the apostle Paul took Timothy with him. What a gracious asset he was to him. And they stood together. How many times when Paul was persecuted and oppressed, Timothy stood with him. Oh, he did. Let us stand together. So this is a very vital, precious word, you say. It means they haven't got to deviate in any way. I've told you before, but I shall never forget, dear Mr. Wood, speaking of the narrow way that leads unto heaven, and he said, you know, there's many deviations in it. There are those that deviate one way and another. He said deviations, if you look at it in natural things, in a road, you often find a black spot for accidents, is where there's a great, a slight deviation, not a great deviation. And it's very deceptive in driving, and many have been ushered into eternity where there's been a deviation, you see, on the road. And think about it spiritually. This is what Mr. Wood said. He said, you know, it's dangerous. Deviation. You see, we often see those that gradually drift away from vital things, don't we? And that's very solemn, you know. They're not willing to stand. Now, I want to look just briefly at this standing. How is it the child of God can stand and stand together with God's people? Well, they cannot themselves. You know, we look back and see how many have not stood. But oh, what a mercy it is to be given grace to stand. And the only way we can stand is by, first of all, being on a good foundation. The Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he speaks of the man that built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. And then he speaks of the man that built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, what we need us to stand is to be on a good foundation. And that foundation is the Lord Jesus himself. Christ is the eternal rock on which the church is built. The shepherd of his little flock, the lamb that took our guilt, our counsellor, our guide, our bridegroom and our friend, the bridegroom of his chosen bride, who loves her to the end. And you see, this is vital. And in this solemn day, if we are not upon the rock, we shan't stand. It's only by being on that rock. And then, secondly, for us to stand, we must be upright. I know what you'll say, oh, but we cannot keep ourselves upright, and we can't, that is true. There's only one way that we can be kept upright, and that is by leaning upon Christ, dependent upon him. The Lord said, no good thing will he withhold, and listen, it's God's word, from them that walk uprightly. And you think solemnly, we know left to ourselves we'll be just the same, but you think how solemnly many in authority today have not walked uprightly. It's very solemn, isn't it? And think about it concerning us. Have we walk uprightly, do we? Before God, before his people, before the world. Because the world take knowledge of God's people, they've been with Jesus, it's seen. Oh, it is. There's a difference between the children of God and the world, and it's seen even by the world. We read in the Acts of the Apostles, they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. And you think in all things we need so much grace to stand, don't we? So he says here, let us stand how? Together. There's the strength. Oh, it is, together. Not divided, but standing together. And the Lord will honour those that stand together. Oh, he will. You think how solemn it was. There was Alexander the coppersmith that did the apostle much harm. He didn't stand together with him, did he? There were others. There were those that Jesus spoke of that went back and walked no more with him. They didn't stand together. Now, I don't know what you may be in tonight, but may this be a word for us each. It may be between husband and wife. It may be between a couple in courtship, it may be in a church and a pastor. Let us stand together. And in standing together, there will be profit, you say. Oh, there will. So he says here, and let us. Don't look at somebody else and say, oh, well, this applies to them. Let us. He comes right home personal, you see. Let us stand together. And you think how many stood together with the Lord Jesus. There were those that dearly loved him. And they stood together. You see, for us to stand together is the only way we can is in love. Love all defects supplies. He makes great obstructions small. 'Tis prayer, 'tis praise, 'tis sacrifice, 'tis holiness, 'tis all. Let us stand together. And then, oh, that we might, when we come down to the swellings of Jordan, be standing together with the dear Redeemer. And then standing together in his sacred ordinances, let us stand together. Wonderful thing, you know, to come to the pool and a couple stand together. The Lord blessing them both, constraining them by his love, you see. We sang at the prayer meeting on Monday at Swavesey that beautiful hymn, 1082. Where the dear hymn writer speaks so much of the love that he gives to, the Lord gives to his people. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill his word. When each can feel his brother's sigh, this is standing together, you see. And with him bear a part when sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart. When free from envy, scorn and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. When love in one delightful stream through every bosom flows, when union sweet and dear esteem in every action glows. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven that finds his bosom glow with love. Amen.